the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. If that won't wake you up, Calvin, I don't know what will. So the last hour I spent talking about what I think is an issue that we have to work on. And my next guest, and I see you, I'm going to come to you, CJ, after I introduce Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, I've been talking about the fact that an article that was written is in today's USA Today. It's written by a young man who is from Wisconsin. And, you know, he grew up in rural Wisconsin. His family, had a farm. And so he grew up and was able to do some other things with his life. And I was talking about the urban and rural divide, Dr. Craig, which is one that you know as well as anybody, and why it's so important that we work this out and understand that the same culprits that have caused that that pain in rural America is also the same culprits who are causing that pain in urban America, and that this is no longer capitalism. It hasn't been for a long time. It's been corporatism, and Americans need to know the difference between the two. Let's go to CJ first, Dr. Craig, and then we'll come to you. Go ahead, CJ.
Thank you, Earl and Dr. Craig. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I find it funny because there is a difference. You know, it's not just farms that are rural. There are companies and small businesses, and most small businesses file singular as a corporation. And I'm sure, Earl, that you know you work for a corporation. So here's the thing. My dad always said, you got to give a reason for a company to stay in America. You can't tax them to death and expect corporations to stay here. So that's what the Republicans believe. You always misrepresent what we believe, Earl. We believe that we should be competitive tax-wise and regulations-wise. We believe that we should allow small farmers to regulate their commodities along with big corporation farms.
So, CJ, this is not for you to filibuster about what Republicans believe and all those things. You know, I hear you, but you're telling me what I don't know. I worked for a corporation that stood in the city where it was for over 110 years. That corporation stood in the city of Milwaukee. It was called A. O. Smith. And when the families were the chief operating, when the families sat at the seat of the table, it was A. O. Smith, Briggs and Stratton, Allen Bradley, the families sat there and they knew the ones who created those companies. And they knew about their commitment to this country, and they knew about their commitment to the communities in which they lived. You're talking to somebody who knew that, and who knew that those companies stayed here because they had believed in their communities as well. So when you say, you know, this can't be done, it was done, CJ. And then what changed it? After those patriarchs of those companies left, and CFOs and CEOs took their places, that's when that type of mentality that you're talking about came into existence. Thank you very much for the call. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. Your thoughts?
Good morning and happy holidays.
yes, yes, it is. Happy holidays.
Originally a Christian holiday, though it's celebrated by a lot of non-Christians, this is an appropriate topic because Christianity, as well as the other great world religions, is about universal humanity, about coming together in universal human fellowship and bending our divisions, right?
Yes.
And so, because we all under God, all creations of God, whether you believe in God or not, I'm saying in terms of the Christian holidays, many secular people who are non-religious also share that value very strongly. So the divide between rural and urban Wisconsin, that's a great topic for right now, for a couple days after Christmas. Also, what you said about what corporations have done to damage and destroy communities. And let me give CJ his due quickly, Earl. He's not wrong about the legal definition of corporation. All nonprofits, charities, are corporations. So corporation has a different legal meaning, broader. They're different types of corporations. They're not profit-making corporations.
Right.
But the point being that in popular parlance, when you say corporation, people think of the big, powerful for-profit corporations that have, thanks to the Reagan Revolution and Milton Friedman, their sole purpose in maximizing their profits and their shareholder value, period. And what you just described very compellingly, Earl, and I've heard you do it before, is your personal experience where, for profit, they decided to basically pull the rug out from under the people who made the company's prosperity possible, take the money that was fungible and put it somewhere else to get even more profit, to do a very unchristian, unreligious thing. And this has been justified, rationalized under the view that somehow big corporations and others acting in their self-interest will lead to a common interest. It certainly did not for the city of Milwaukee, which used to have the most prosperous African-American middle class in the country in the late 1970s and now has the lowest relative incomes for African-Americans of the 50 largest cities in the country. That is because corporations abandoned the people who made their prosperity and wealth possible. Same thing is happening in rural areas. That's your point. CJ, who did lay out, you know, the conservative argument quite well this morning, talked about how you could create, by not having regulation, free competition where small farmers could do well and large corporations could do well. That is a nice kind of vision, right, Earl? It's not the reality.
Pie in the sky.
The reality is large corporations rigged the system to make sure the small guys would lose, and family farms have all but disappeared in the state. Progressively, this has been a known problem for decades and decades and decades, and nothing has been done about it, including by the representatives of rural areas, because the people who control power at the federal level and the state level are the large corporations, not the little guy, not the small farmers. And so if you want to have a vibrant small farm community, which people like the Farm Bureau wrap themselves in but are actually against, right? You need to create conditions where it's possible, and that requires the use of our government, and that's where conservatives will not go.
You know, Dr. Craig, you and Citizen Action are blanketing rural America because you understand what is going on. And I was saying, Dr. Craig, that one of the reasons, you know, is that rural America doesn't know about urban America doesn't know about rural America, but the same issues are intertwined in what has happened to the prosperity of both urban America as well as rural America. And that if we can, as you guys are doing, build that dialogue, as civic media is doing, build that dialogue across the states, then we can begin to take back, you know, what the nation was for all of us, Dr. Craig, but it has to begin with dialogue. Is that right?
Yes. Dialogue where people, average people, talk to average people, where it's not 30-second television spots, right?
Right.
Those are going to exist. We can't banish them, but deeper conversations between people within their own communities is what changes hearts and minds, and then action, and then creates the conditions where elected officials are held accountable. New maps that are democratic will help as well, which, of course, there was a breakthrough right before Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that
decision. And so it's a bait and switch. also, through propaganda, mass media money, basically converted into propaganda, what rural people are told is, don't blame us. We're not the problem. That is the big corporations, the powerful. It's something someone is doing that's different than you in Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee's urban problems. It's the more diverse black and brown people there who are being irresponsible. So it's a bait and switch. They have nothing to do with each other. Both are actually suffering under the same problem, corporate malfeasance and taking all the money, which is corporations are where the wealthiest people in our country hold their money and make their money. So they're behind corporations. They're created. New ones are minted by corporations doing as they do. And so the deeper conversations we need to have, get people to understand that, I'll give you a rural issue. We've spent more than enough money.
Dr. Craig, do me a favor. Hold that thought. Got to pay some bills. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. I couldn't find anybody better equipped to handle the conversation that we're having this morning than Dr. Craig. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, before we went to break, you were expressing, you know, we were talking about, again, as I've been talking about from the beginning of the show, this divide between rural and urban Milwaukee, America, and you were expressing.
Yeah, I was going to give a concrete example of how corporate power, the power of the most among us, those who have the most money, is harming both urban and rural Wisconsin, and they have the same problem, right? The same that they right. come together on. And so I want to get very specific to about specific corporations. The term rural broadband refers to the fact there's a digital divide in two ways. A lot of low-income folks in Milwaukee don't have full access to the internet, and it's really hard to function economically or civically in our society without it, right?
Right.
In rural areas, it's a big issue because a lot of areas simply do not have good internet, and therefore people don't move there. There's this huge opportunity with the huge shift to virtual work, which COVID-19 pandemic accelerated dramatically. We're not going back. People, they're having to close down all sorts of office space. There's an opportunity for people to live anywhere they want and still work. And so there's an immense, there's a lot of people who would love to live in the gorgeous rural areas across Wisconsin, right? But they can't do it because there isn't reliable internet. And here's the secret. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has actually done very good over the years, investigative reporting on this, with their national corporation, Gannett, the newspaper chain. And they found that we have actually spent enough money as of the Obama administration to have universal broadband, just like we have universal postage, right? That was something we did with the federal government, right? We created a public post office that said, no matter where you were, no matter how much in the frontier, you would pay the same for a letter as someone sending it across town in a city. And so we did that very easily in the 19th century. But we've not still not done rural broadband because we've given the money to big telecom corporations, and they have taken the money and deliberately, not because there isn't enough accountability, provided it to the hardest to reach areas because they're less profitable, there's less population density, built up things to increase their own profit where there are more people, and gotten away with it. And they're still getting away with it. The money that Biden administration gave to the state of Wisconsin is being given away in an honor system, according to the head of the Public Service Commission. That was in a state hearing. So there's an example of where if you had public broadband, then everyone would have it. Or if you actually had teeth and strong regulation, which we know TJ is against, that required if you're going to take public money to create broadband, people don't have them, then you should darn well be forced to actually do that, right? And so that's an example of how rural areas are being harmed and people continue to move out of them because of corporations. We've paid them billions for this, and they've not done it, and we're paying them more billions, and they still will not do it until we either make them do it or we replace them. By the way, they're using their power to ban public broadband. Vernon County, a rural county along the Mississippi River, is the only one with their own public county broadband. Telecom went and got the legislature to ban that after the first one was done by Vernon County, so no one else can do that.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is that kind of information, I think, that is at the root of why civic media exists, and what I'd like to do with this show is to give information, factual information, to people who don't get it readily. And so we can talk about all the other things, but elections are next year, Dr. Craig, major elections. And for any of these things to be fixed, the elections are the arbiter of what's going to fix them. But people have to have factual information if we're willing to see the change that is necessary. So, you know, coming on here and beating up people who live in rural America is not going to do anything to change their views on why things are the way they are. But I think if information like what you just gave to people and they hear it, you know, then they can begin to understand the power still does lie with the people, and it's in their votes. And major corporations know that. Not small. I'm not saying small corporations don't, but the major corporations that we're talking about, who run everything, Dr. Craig, it's all tied into what's happening politically, and we've all got to understand that.
I'll give you some optimism. Most people
we need it.
Left and right. Most people left and right agree with that. The reason corporations fund politicians and propaganda efforts that cause division based on race, on geography, where you live, they have to heighten that and make that front and center, or, you know, based on immigrants, right? The alleged, you know, immigrants as non-people that we don't have to have any regard for, which is what that right-wing view of immigration is all about. They do that because most people think that corporations have too much power and are not acting their interests, and that they're greedy and that they're harming them. And so there is a bipartisan consensus. It's why the Donald Trumps and the Tucker Carlsons of the world make this facade that they're against corporate power, Ron DeSantis, right? They're really not. But they do that because they know a lot of their voters are concerned about that. Most people think healthcare is a right. The people who are denying it are the big healthcare corporations, right? The big hospital chains, insurance, big pharmaceutical companies. So they need to foment this fear of the government, quote unquote, taking it over. But you know what? If in a fair debate, if you talk about insurance company claims denials, hospitals, you know, got, you know, billing practices and debt collection practices, because medical debt's still the major cause of bankruptcy, people are rapidly wanting to control it and contain it and support that. So they have to kind of bait and switch, right, and get us to hate each other. So the Christmas season, the holiday season, is a very good time, and the other major holidays, I know this is the beginning of Kwanzaa roll today, is a good time to think about how we overcome those divisions, heal the community, and stop listening to the people who divide us for their own profit and benefit so they can take most of the wealth that's generated by our whole society, our whole national community.
Dr. Craig, very well said, as always. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, when we come back, we're going to talk about the redistricting maps. We'll return shortly. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, it's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with my co-host, my guest, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, man, the maps are going to be redrawn. And just so people understand, the legislature still will get the opportunity to redraw the maps initially. Is it safe to say that?
Yes, they have till January 12th. We're on a tight timeline.
Right, and if they are not sufficient, then the states, does it go to the governor next or the state Supreme Court to who will have the final say?
It depends how the Republicans play it, right?
Well, they're in charge, you know, from that perspective, with the legislature.
Well, the question is, are they capable of highly pragmatic maps that are not biased the way the current ones are, that might actually be accepted by us,
right,
by this Supreme Court? Or whether it sounds like they're betting on being saved by the U.S. Supreme Court. And we can talk about what the grounds would be. There, most legal scholars, that have been interviewed on this, think that there doesn't seem to be any reasonable grounds based on current precedent, but they would never rule out. These are strange times, and this U.S. Supreme Court is by no means predictable.
So is it possible then, Dr. Craig? You there's this timeline, and you stated it, January 12th or whatever it is. They want these maps.
March 15th is when the Election Commission has to have the maps. So I think the Supreme Court could move that back a couple weeks if they needed to.
The state Supreme Court?
Right. And that's happened, but it can't happen. It can't happen in the summer. I mean, if March 15th is the current deadline, according to the Wisconsin Election Commission, you know, do they need a little time to move it back to April 7th? Maybe, but it's going to be early spring that this has to be decided one way or another.
So, Dr. Craig, let's say the state Supreme Court doesn't accept the maps that are redrawn by the legislature. And we're talking timelines here because of the election, the federal election. How is it possible if the United States Supreme Court, is that something they would move on as swiftly as need be because of the presidential election? Or is that something that would move to the front of the list of issues that the United States Supreme Court will be dealing with?
It totally depends. Last time, you remember this Supreme Court, because Judge Hagedorn switched sides, it first accepted the governor's maps over the legislature.
Right.
And then Amy Comey Barrett, who was the justice that oversees Wisconsin, they have different spatial jurisdictions. In the Rocket docket, this is the one where they can act immediately, but there are no briefs and no public hearing. It's very controversial, their use of the Rocket docket. It was supposed to be used only extreme circumstances. Now they use it regularly. She overturned the governor's maps on a brand new, no, never seen before claim that they had to prove that it wasn't reverse discrimination, that they'd added an extra majority black district. No such maps had ever been required to pre-prove that. And then the state Supreme Court went and adopted the legislature's maps instead, which is even worse than the previous one. So yes, they can act quickly if they wanted. One thing that a UW-Madison legal scholar brought up is that they generally, even in the Rocket docket, don't move until the case is done, and the case isn't done. The case isn't done until the Supreme Court has decided what the maps will be. So there's a question of they might not do it now. They would do it at the end of the process. Do you see what I mean? They could also take the case and not enjoin the new maps and have a longer process. It's called granting certiorari. It's a Latin word. It's often abbreviated as cert. And so our petition for cert means that they take the case as a full case. So if they're going to wait until it's decided, what the court has done is they've asked both parties to submit maps. So if they find the Republican maps submitted by January 12th, shall we say, unacceptable, they could just accept what the governor submits. And the question is, what will the governor submit as far as thinking about what is the most thing that's most likely to be accepted? They won't just do their pie-in-the-sky maps. Probably neither will, but don't know how they're going to play it. And it also says, though, if you've thought about the problem, what if Robin Voss, just the way he gavels out special sessions, just refuses to provide the maps by January 12th. The decision says that if they don't get any maps, they can just draw them themselves. So they will draw them themselves if they do not get maps from the legislature, but they presumably would have maps from the Democratic Party, and they would just accept those. So it doesn't seem to me, from what I know now, that Robin Voss simply not providing maps is a viable course for him.
You know, Dr. Craig, if my recollection is right, the governor's maps that were drawn were not acceptable to many Democrats. And many
people. They were
people
still gerrymandered for Republicans, but they designed them to potentially win Judge Hagedorn, and they did. But then there was the unexpected intervention by the very interventionist Justice Comey Barrett, a Trump appointee, as everyone remembers, very controversially.
So Dr. Craig, this still sounds like, considering, you know, the importance of the state of Wisconsin, this is still, you know, unpredictable of where it's going to land and whether or not these things will be worked out before you know, the election time.
Yeah, at this point, absent. You see, it's most legal scholars think the Supreme Court intervention is unlikely because they chose the narrowest grounds that were entirely state law and state constitution and tried to avoid anything that involved federal law or the federal constitution. And so they would have extremely limited grounds to potentially do it, and they would have to make new law, though that's the problem. This Supreme Court has a bunch of politicians and robes on it, right-wing politicians, who are willing just to make new law to get what they want. So we'll see. It requires four of them to take it as a full case, only four. So if you consider that Thomas and Alito are going to do almost anything bad, it's a question of whether there are two more that would take this step. But let's leave that aside. Then there will be new maps, but they're going to be remedial maps. They're designed only to deal with the narrow constitutional issues that are in the case. They didn't take all the issues in the case, just one of them, actually. It's a direct violation of the state constitution not to have contiguous maps, that is, all the territory touching the territory, because then you could just make crazy districts that are like, God knows what, right? Some sort of patch quilt all over the state in order to get whatever result you wanted in gerrymandering. And so they may not be fully fair maps. They'll be better than the current ones, but the justices did leave some wiggle room saying that they could consider partisan impact, not because they're trying to aid one side or the other, but because the partisan, to be independent, they need to make sure basically it doesn't unduly aid one side or the other, that they are really nonpartisan maps, which they have not been. So I think that absent the Supreme, I still think the Supreme Court thing, I don't know, Earl, I'm not an odds maker. I would say it's less than 50% the Supreme Court intervenes, but they could, right? Despite their not seeming to be rounds. But then the case will only create remedial maps and will therefore, it could, the completely new maps, they could then draw later for the next election. These are going to be like a corrective maps for now, kind of like when, I don't know, Earl, when you get a temporary crown in a dentist's right. office before you get a permanent crown, right? Then you have to wait a few weeks when they go and make that.
So Dr. Craig, you're saying that, you know, the maps that are going to be drawn, that, you know, for the sake of clarity, the true maps will really kind of take place in 2025. Is it safe to say that
presuming the Supreme Court does intervene, not knowing what the parties will do, that is what the case says now, the ruling we had on December 22nd last Friday. So, by the way, just to remind your listeners, anyone who may be new to this, because you have all these stations all over the state, Earl, on the Civic Radio, right. Via radio network, in the current map, the maps that were preceded this, which weren't as bad as the ones that brought in 2 years ago, but were really bad, we have a 99-seat state assembly. So, in other words, in a very divided state, you would expect something, if it was a fair map, like a 50 to 49, right? That would be look like our presidential, right?
It's about 60 to 39 states. Or something. I don't know. It's way out of kilter.
In 2018, Democrats got 53% of the vote. That's a landslide in Wisconsin, right? 53%.
Right.
This is such an evenly divided state. And then they only got 36 assembly seats, which means the Republicans got
63
assembly seats. And so that's how bad these are. This is like, this is definition of rigged. Okay, totally rigged, so only one party can win. When there's a landslide, the opposite party gets a supermajority. That's what the current maps are like. They were certainly better than that, but they could be natural Republican advantage in these maps still. But what it is going to do is going to endanger a ton of Republican incumbents. What we had is, and this is why our public policy has been so bad, we had a majority of Republicans never vulnerable to losing their reelection. So they could do anything. They could cut all the schools closing around the state, Earl, and the cuts in teachers when we had this huge budget surplus. They'd be people, if when you have fair maps, people get thrown out of office for that kind of thing. They only got away with that kind of thing because they were invulnerable to the public, the people who are supposed to be their bosses and supposed to hold them accountable.
Dr. Craig, hold a thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll return. Can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Dr. Craig is my guest of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, you know, as we start, you know, wrapping up 2023, what do you want the listening audience to know about the impact they can have on government themselves, and that they have the ability and that there's room in the end for them to help work towards changing their own realities?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to mull over this new year, Earl, when we think about our obligations. And I think we have obligations as citizens, and I don't even mean the legal definition of citizen. Citizenship is also a word about us being citizens of a human community, right? Generally,
right.
Regardless of whether anyone's granted you citizenship in a particular country, including this one. And so, but we live in a state where we have more influence than everyone else and who holds national power, because we have this ridiculous system where only seven states decide who's president, right? And that has enormous consequences. I mean, I'll just give you one example, because at a time of, you know, a lot of religious speculation and reflection, like the holidays, we think about endings, end times, the ultimate, right? We do face runaway climate change, human-generated, that would do unimaginable, unprecedented damage to humans, to human civilization, in terms of mass death, mass dislocation, but it's fully within our power to control it. And we have a 6-year deadline, and President Biden is the first president to take serious action. He and got us a good amount of the way there, but not all the way there. We need to cut greenhouse emissions in half by 2030, which is very soon. So if we think about that, who is president now is a huge impact, because Donald Trump wants to pretend there is no climate crisis, ignore all science, so that he can enrich big fossil fuel companies, big for-profit utilities like your utility provider. That's part of the problem, a big part of the problem, and just ignore what needs to be done, and then let future generations and current generations. It's now. We see global warming now. You saw how warm Christmas was.
Yes. Right, girls? Come on.
So this is not normal for Wisconsin or the upper Midwest. This is, the proof is right before, not before our eyes, right outside. And so, I mean, that's nice and pleasant, but it has terrible consequences, potentially. But it doesn't take much of our wealth or capacity. We know how to do this. It will actually produce more prosperity. It actually opens up all sorts of opportunity for new jobs. And if we do it right, we can re-employ a lot of the people who lost their jobs with the ravages of corporate destruction the last 50 years, deindustrialization of what's been done to the local farm economy, the way we started this. So you can name other issues, like whether or not women have their constitutional rights to control their own bodies, reproductive health and abortion, right? You can talk about a whole lot of important issues. We have a bigger role, and even if one can't vote, let's say you're legal resident, you can have a huge influence by being involved in organizations that affect this conversation, have the dialogue with average people across the state, a real personal conversations that you all were mentioning earlier in the show. We need to do that on a large scale where thousands of people are playing their part as good citizens of human community and talking to people to make sure that we can win this election. But I have a second thing. Just winning is not enough. It needs to be understood for the winners, that is, if it is President Biden, what we expect him to do in order to earn and follow through on the trust that's been bestowed to him if he's given a second term. But there's no hope of any of these things with a President Trump. That's what's to reflect upon. I would love if we had two equally compelling visions and approaches to our future from each party. That used to happen. It's not happening now, unfortunately, and that's not our fault, Earl. That's the fault of the party that has a front runner like a Donald Trump.
You know, Dr. Craig, you talked about, you know, we take this for granted, the warm weather, the warmest summer in the history of the state of Wisconsin and Milwaukee, the warmest December in the history. I mean, these things aren't happening by happenstance. And yet there's still people who don't believe, you know, in climate change. And I don't know how you're able to, outside of, you know, having that one-on-one dialogue with somebody to get them to understand, you know, this is not, you know, fictional. This is real.
I'll say something fairly controversial since we're in a, you know, religious season, right? I don't understand how you can say you believe in God and not believe in climate change, because if the world is created by a great creator and we're seeing this predictable warming that our knowledge, our ability to get knowledge, technology, science would be driven by what has been given us, right? How we would ignore the signs of the time. Using biblical language, they decide to ignore the signs of the times for their own enrichment.
Dr. Craig, well said. We'll talk soon. Have a happy new year. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Couldn't do it without you. I'll be back on tomorrow. Up next, As Goes Wisconsin, Greg Bott and Jane Madnair.